exact concept, the coming apotheosis of man, the impending transformation of our human minds into their true potentiality. He smiled. What could possibly explain such a synchronicity of beliefs? Truth, said a quiet voice in the crowd. Solomon wheeled. Who said that? The hand that went up belonged to a tiny Asian boy whose soft features suggested he might be Nepalese or Tibetan. Maybe there is a universal truth embedded in everyone's soul. Maybe we all have the same story hiding inside, like a shared constant in our DNA. Maybe this collective truth is responsible for the similarity in all of our stories. Solomon was beaming as he pressed his hands together and bowed reverently to the boy. Thank you. Everyone was quiet. Truth, Solomon said, addressing the room. Truth has power. And if we all gravitate towards similar ideas, maybe we do so because those ideas are true, written deep within us. And when we hear the truth, even if we don't understand it, we feel that truth resonate within us, vibrating with our unconscious wisdom. Perhaps the truth is not learned by us, but rather, the truth is recalled, remembered, recognized, as that which is already inside us. The silence in the hall was complete. Solomon let it sit for a long moment, then quietly said, In closing, I should warn you that unveiling the truth is never easy. Throughout history, every period of enlightenment has been accompanied by darkness pushing in opposition. Such are the laws of nature and balance. And if we look at the darkness growing in the world today, we have to realize that this means there is equal light growing. We are on the verge of a truly great period of illumination, and all of us, all of you, are profoundly blessed to be living through this pivotal moment of history. Of all the people who have ever lived, in all the eras in history, we are in that narrow window of time during which we will bear witness to our ultimate renaissance. After millennia of darkness, we will see our sciences, our minds, and even our religions unveil the truth. Solomon was about to get a hearty round of applause when he held up his hand for silence. Miss, he pointed directly to the contentious blonde girl in back with the cell phone. I know you and I didn't agree on much, but I want to thank you. Your passion is an important catalyst in the coming changes. Darkness feeds on apathy, and conviction is our most potent antidote. Keep studying your faith. Study the Bible, he smiled, especially the final pages. The Apocalypse? She said. Absolutely. The book of Revelation is a vibrant example of our shared truth. The last book of the Bible tells the identical story as countless other traditions. They all predict the coming unveiling of great wisdom. Someone else said, But isn't the Apocalypse about the end of the world? You know, the Antichrist, Armageddon, the final battle between good and evil? Solomon chuckled. Who here studies Greek? Several hands went up. What does the word apocalypse literally mean? It means, one student began, and then paused as if surprised. Apocalypse means to unveil, or to reveal. Solomon gave the boy a nod of approval. Exactly. The apocalypse is literally a revelation. The book of revelation in the Bible predicts an unveiling of great truth and unimaginable wisdom. The apocalypse is not the end of the world, but rather it is the end of the world as we know it. The prophecy of the apocalypse is just one of the Bible's beautiful messages that has been distorted. Solomon stepped to the front of the stage. Believe me, the apocalypse is coming, and it will be nothing like what we were taught. High over his head, the bell began to toll. The students erupted into bewildered and thunderous applause. Chapter 112. Catherine Solomon was teetering on the edge of consciousness when she was jolted by the shockwave of a deafening explosion. Moments later, she smelled smoke. Her ears were ringing. There were muffled voices, distant, shouting, footsteps. Suddenly, she was breathing more clearly. The cloth had been pulled from her mouth. You're safe, a man's voice whispered. Just hold on. She expected the man to pull the needle out of her arm, but instead he was yelling orders. Bring the medical kit. Attach an IV to the needle. Infuse lactated Ringer's solution. Get me a blood pressure. As the man began checking her vital signs, he said, Miss Solomon, the person who did this to you, where did he go? Catherine tried to speak, but she could not. Miss Solomon, the voice repeated, where did he go? Catherine tried to pry her eyes open, but she felt herself fading. We need to know where he went, the man urged. Catherine whispered three words in response, although she knew they made no sense.
The sacred mountain.
Director Sato stepped over the mangled steel door and descended a wooden ramp into the hidden basement. One of her agents met her at the bottom. Director, I think you'll want to see this. Sato followed the agent into a small room off the narrow hallway. The room was brightly lit and barren, except for a pile of clothing on the floor. She recognized Robert Langdon's tweed coat and loafers. Her agent pointed toward the far wall at a large casket-like container. What in the world? Sato moved toward the container, seeing now that it was fed by a clear plastic pipe that ran through the wall. Warily, she approached the tank. Now she could see that it had a small slider on top. She reached down and slid the covering to one side, revealing a small portal-like window. Sato recoiled. Beneath the plexiglass floated the submerged, vacant face of Professor Robert Langdon.
Light.
The endless void in which Langdon hovered was suddenly filled by a blinding sun. Rays of white-hot light streamed across the blackness of space, burning into his mind. The light was everywhere. Suddenly, within the radiant cloud before him, a beautiful silhouette appeared. It was a face, blurry and indistinct. Two eyes staring at him across the void. Streams of light surrounded the face, and Langdon wondered if he was looking into the face of God. Sato stared down into the tank, wondering if Professor Langdon had any idea what had happened. She doubted it. After all, disorientation was the entire purpose of this technology. Sensory deprivation tanks had been around since the 50s and were still a popular getaway for wealthy New Age experimenters. Floating, as it was called, offered a transcendental back-to-the-womb experience.